A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
Night. And I don't want to recycle that, but I mean, that's what it does. It just brings people together. All right, so there's my one word, unite.
I'm Emily Forstner, your host today. This podcast is about the importance of community, because when it all comes down to it, a community that knows itself takes care of itself. And I got to thinking one day when I was singing along to the music pumped through a store about the one thing that connects all of us, one thing we all have in common.
My heart is lonely for the only one I love.
That's right, music. It moves us to find lost memories, dance, or even sing aloud in public. I'm a consumer of music. It works a type of magic, doesn't it? And there are all sorts of music: orchestra, choir, opera, big band, little band, rock and roll and lullabies. There's piano music, drums and woodwinds, too much to count. It's total surround sound. But I wonder, I know what it is to be a consumer of music, but what is it like to be a maker of music, the musician? And in the Matsu, the live music scene is topping the charts and making a name for itself. So in today's episode, we get to know more about the magic that is live music, with a bird's eye view into one small piece of live music in the valley, the Tuesday night bluegrass folk anything goes jam session held at the Fishhook Bar in Hatcher Pass. Then in part two, we'll learn what it's like to be a DJ promoting recorded music. In this episode, we call Strike a Chord.
Perhaps we'll for me.
It's Tuesday night at the Fishhook Bar. Carrie Bowling, the sound man, and I go down there to meet some of the musicians during their informal jam session. About 10 musicians wander in, start tuning up their instruments. It's noisy, but it's a happy noisy.
Well, for me, it's all about community. This gathering, we started this over 10 years ago, and when I first started playing music, I mean, I could play like one or two chords tops. People were always super supportive, and I was super fragile at that time because I was learning. And then fast forward, you know, many more years, I was like, I'd really like to do something like that in the valley, where we can just have a jam and, you know, people of all levels can come. And
that's Jeremy Mellon. He's a regular to the jam session.
Yeah, sometimes there'll be four of us that show up, which is rather small. And I'll be worried, oh, is that enough people like to hold a whole jam? And sometimes those will be the best nights, you know, with just four.
Some of the musicians are like Jeremy and have played together for years, and others are brand new and just learning, like Carmen Summerfield.
I'm just a beginner with music. I'm trying to do a little bit of drumming background, you know, just that's all. Yeah, nothing fancy.
The musicians gather in a circle facing each other. They step in and out of the jam to take a break sometimes, grab something to drink. It's informal, not really a regular performance per se. I feel like I'm almost a part of it.
Well, there's never egos at this jam, you know, it's always just, it's just fun, yeah.
Across the circle from Jeremy sits Brian Geary. He's blind. His service dog lies next to his chair. Brian plays, for starters, the banjo, the guitar, and a sheer horn dobro. I found out that that is a resonating lap guitar.
I haven't driven in 20 years, and my world is pretty small, but this is part of my world that I could go expand on.
Down the row from Brian sits John Strope. He's one of the original jam players, like Jeremy, who played together a decade ago in downtown Palmer at Vagabond Blues. He likens the Fishhook Bar jam more to a community center than playing in a dark and smoky dive bar. He said the newly renovated bar has big windows for one thing, and I might add clean bathrooms. Kids are dancing, families are having a dinner together. The patrons aren't so much as an audience, as they're just lucky to be there.
Everybody kind of gets together and it's a big melting pot. So to me, that's kind of a nice spiritual thing. People, some people go to church for that social thing. I think coming to Music Jam is like that for me.
The musicians get a chance to choose a song to play.
Emily, are you still here? This is for you.
Until the evening becomes a real-time playlist with everything from Tom Petty to Puff the Magic Dragon. But I want to know more about what it is about live music that makes a newcomer want to join in. Not any newcomer, mind you. A newcomer to both the music scene and to the Mat-Su Valley.
I'm Marissa Beeger, and I help to run the Hatcher Pass Avalanche Center. We're a nonprofit avalanche forecasting and education center based in Hatcher Pass. And I also play guitar.
Marissa is originally from Buffalo, New York. While everyone else was jamming in downtown Palmer, Marissa was guiding and instructing for NOLS, the National Outdoor Leadership School, and in the off-season, climbing throughout Chile in South America. And by chance, when the jam session was looking for a new home, so was Marissa.
And had wanted a place to call home, and when I thought about the places that felt like home, it always came back to Palmer.
So she quit the seasonal guide life, moved to Palmer, bought a house, planted a garden, and started to play the guitar again.
I had been playing the guitar on and off for years, most often alone in my home. And I would go and listen to the jam for a few weeks or maybe even a few months. And eventually built up the confidence to show up with the guitar one week. And then as soon as I sat down and started playing with other people, I think it opened up like the world of possibility of what you can do with the instrument and having to follow other people who maybe play in a different style or play songs that you don't know. So I started to learn a lot more after coming to the jam.
It was Kismet, and I wanted to know more about what it was like to be part of the jam alongside some pretty good musicians. So I invited Marissa and two of her musical mentors into the studio to play a song and tell me just a little bit more.
My name is Rod Rongstead.
Rod's been playing music in Alaska since 1985. He's well known and respected throughout the state, as is Marissa's other mentor.
I'm Robert Howard, and I'm retired now. I play music. I get talked into fixing an instrument every now and then. I was a Gibson and Martin authorized repairman for years and years, but have retired from that, basically.
Retired, except for that new used guitar he helped Marissa find and then fixed for her. Robert, by his own right, has opened for the likes of Joe Cocker and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
When I first met Marissa, I believe I had heard her sing a bit and thought, now there's somebody with a voice. And Marissa came to me and said, I like your guitar playing. Would you give me some lessons? So we began that, and hence a friendship.
For Marissa, a friendship, and a whole lot more.
I think I've learned I actually have quite a good singing voice. And it sounds funny to say that and maybe not to have had awareness of that before, but because I never sang in a choir, never had an opportunity, I don't know. You don't think that singing along in the car is really getting you very far.
The audience is a big help there, too, when they get excited about her singing. So we do our best to back her up well.
I think what's so great about our little slice of the music community is people of all abilities show up and play together on Tuesdays.
This jam is just sort of a small segment of our Robert and my experience in the whole music thing. We've been in bands, we've been to all the bars, we've done all of them. This jam is not the end all.
Actually, it's a contribution we can make.
That's
we're not getting any younger.
We're short timers.
Yeah, we're short timers, and it's something we can do for folks that want to learn. And it's a pleasure at the same time to have the opportunity to make people dance. Well, that's, they forget about their troubles and have a good time. It's an important thing to do for folks.
And the other thing I would say is that this is one of the more supportive communities I have been a part of.
I think that's what interested me perhaps the most when I first met Marissa. How is it that a respected outdoor guide and instructor moves to the Mat Valley and with a newfound voice and a used guitar finds a community in music?
Something that's really important to me is intergenerational friendship, and I feel like that has happened quite a bit at the jam. Like, it's all, I mean, what's our youngest person in their 20s? I bet some of the folks who came last week and all the way upwards. I think I am relatively new to the music scene, and I'll be curious to hear other perspectives of whether I got lucky by finding this particular community that's supportive or whether that seems to be a theme across music.
This music community, you really feel at home.
I do. And it could be, like Rod said, that I've always felt like music is a part, like an important part of my life. And that is, it's something I need and it's something that fulfills me a lot. So maybe that helps me feel at home.
People are literally wired to respond to music. When we hear or make music, it resonates the parts of the brain that control emotions and memories. It releases a feel-good dopamine that motivates us to move and tap our feet. In simple terms, I stopped by the Fishhook during a very hectic and uncomfortable week. The music made all the difference.
And you were so happy to have heard and to have, I think, experienced some joy from the music that we were playing. And I thought, wow, I can do that for people. And that's powerful.
Powerful and a bit like magic.
I think there are these like moments of magic that can happen, and it's once in a while, and especially in a jam setting because we don't rehearse together. But even in that setting, I think we can have this like, oh, we really hit that harmony, or oh, wow, we ended that one on such a good note. Yeah, it's magic.
Yeah, magic. Rod and Robert chimed in.
Yes, it can be. We can have a magical feeling about music. But what people don't realize is the amount of time that's put into honing the craft of playing music. And I see it as more of a craft.
It can all be learned. And that does take a lot of time, too. It's not just all about magic at all.
We
started out dropping the needle on the riff we needed to learn. So I spent the bulk of nearly one entire winter holed up in a cabin with my guitar, practicing, and learning more and more. And I agree with you. I can't even think of how many hours that might be. A lot. And one of the nice things about it, though, is there's never an end to the learning.
That's right.
Music.
There's no end to it.
All that practice is paying off. The Mat Su is fast claiming a place on the music map, but it's not without its challenges.
First of all, it's really hard to keep a jam going. There's a lot of issues in getting sound right, and whether you have a place where you can do it, and whether you can attract the players that you need to support a jam. And it's fun to help those players. And one of the things that the Fishhook Bar has done has been consistent so far in drawing people. And that's very important.
It's kind of ironic in that, as Robert was saying, there's sort of a lack of venues, yet there is more interesting music than ever. I think in the Valley, since I've been here, these young groups, I'll give them a plug.
Oh, Black Barrel and the Badmen.
Black Barrel and the Badmen. Yeah, that guy can sing like crazy.
3021, your guys.
That's 3021. They're my favorite guys. They're my guys. I love them.
The Fishhook Bar is just one of the many places you can find live music now in the Valley. Facebook is probably your best bet to find live music, along with the Make a Scene section in the People's Paper.
Live music will never go away. That's one of the reasons we do it. People like to see people playing music. They enjoy it more than they do listening to Spotify.
One word, just one word I asked to sum up live music.
It's life-sustaining.
I'm just going to say leveling.
I'll follow the rules. Joyful.
That was great. Thanks. Enjoyed that.
I'm Emily Forstner, and you've been listening to local musicians Rod Rungstad, Robert Howard, and Marissa Beeger on Voices of the Mat-Su, produced for Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Coming up next in part two of our episode called Strike a Chord, we'll learn not what it's like to play live music, but what it's like to be the DJ in charge of recorded music.
Well, my name's Rob Bashleven. I'm known as Rockin' Rob here at Big Cabbage Radio. I've been DJing here now since, I think, 4/20/2012 was my first live show.
I met up with Rob at the studio right before his 6 o'clock show called Back Where It All Began.
Old friend Zach Renfro from Sutton had given me a call and referred me to getting over here and start doing some DJing because we needed DJs because of my music background and hundreds of hours of music that I have just in my, you know, on the shelves and everything. And Zach was like, you'd be a good fit for this.
And so was born Rockin' Rob. In the music world, Rob's known for more than just being Rockin' Rob on Big Cabbage Radio.
More than anything, a huge passion of music, so.
Would you call yourself a music lover or a promoter?
Combination of both. Mainly music lover, but definitely a promoter as well.
And he also has a huge collection of music in all sorts of formats. LPs, CDs, you name it.
Oh, yeah, I still have milk crates of tapes that the wife tries to have me get rid of. I'm like, nope, not happening.
Tucked away in the front recording booth, where it's just you, a microphone, a soundboard, and music files. Do you ever wonder who's listening?
It is always a question of curious, like, how many folks are actually listening to us? Usually it's family members or friends that I know are consistently listening to my show, and they've been loyal listeners for the last 12 years. So I know exactly, well, not exactly if they're listening this day, but those are usually the images of who I'm speaking to and trying to cater the set list to for that day. A lot of times I just choose whatever I want to play and try to, you know, speak to whoever the listening audience is just driving around and might want to listen to something different than what I usually play on my show, like mix it up. Who was born this day in music history and do that for a day, or what's a special occurrence that happened, you know, John Lennon's birthday or whatever it is. Elton John's playing his last concert ever, mix it, go that route. Or I don't know if I would do Taylor Swift yet, but you never know.
Yeah.
Trying to bring in different music genres and bands that people aren't aware of is my goal. I definitely play a lot of bands that people know of, but then also go into newer bands that have been influenced by old bands.
Rob's a well-known DJ around here. So is that a performer? A librarian, curator, promoter? What is the role of a DJ?
Definitely not a performer. I leave that to the professionals. I would be a curator, librarian of music for sure. That seems to be my little niche. There's enough of people who perform and we'll leave them to do that.
Have you ever performed? Do you play music?
Not anymore. I used to play the piano, but not anymore.
Do you sing?
I leave that to my wife.
Rob's married to local vocalist Sierra Doherty. Rob recently added another show to his volunteer work at the radio station, Prime Time 49. featuring only Alaskan artists.
I think we're on show 12. You know, it started with Back Where It All Began, and I would always try to do like a half-hour segment of just Alaska bands and feature them each week, as well as, you know, musicians who are coming up here to play. And I think that that's where we spawned off on doing Primetime 49. And then that's just an hour show now. And it's been bringing in new musicians, up-and-coming artists that people don't see on Spotify, who we don't see over at the Palmer Ale House all the time. And just once again, letting people be known of, hey, there's these great guys who you might be able to see over at 203 Kombucha or jamming out at Fish Hook on a Tuesday night. They don't have anything really recorded outside of what they've done in their own home studio.
Like the local Roland Roberts band.
Tyson Davis is another good one that's out there with Blackwater Railroad, you know, Spiff and Melissa Mitchell. I mean, there's a ton of them. Alaska has so many amazing musicians, and a lot of them could go ahead and probably be very successful down south, but they want to be up here because of what we got here in Alaska, and we're lucky to have them.
Primetime 49 airs on Sundays at noon and again on Saturday night at 8 p.m. right here on Big Cabbage Radio. When I was listening to the bluegrass jam at the Fishhook Bar, every musician chose one song that made up the playlist. So I wondered, how does Rockin' Rob know what to play when? Does he have a thought-out list, or is it a playlist made from just like the big feels of the day?
Each week it's a different, you know, sometimes it is cerebral, and depending on how I'm feeling that week, it could definitely be an emotional. You know, I lose a friend, a family member, you definitely do an emotional set list that for that show. What were their favorite music? What are the memories of your time with them? What concerts and celebrations did you have? So there's the emotional side, and then cerebral is just, let's see what happened in this day in music history, or I might go ahead and do a reggae show because I just wish it would be sunny, you know, like whatever type of vibe we want to go with. I might do a snow set because we need snow, you know. It's been raining. I might do a whole show in rain. So a lot of shows are definitely weather. Do a lot of wind shows here in Palmer. You might notice that. I can do a lot of them, but Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan is one, of course. Black-Throated Wind by the Grateful Dead is another one.
Just FYI, Rob's a self-professed deadhead. He starts every show with a Grateful Dead number. Recorded music over the airwaves and live music in the air. Two different things entirely.
Live music is all about the experience. You never know what each show is going to bring. That was one of the beautiful pieces of the Grateful Dead and Fish and String Cheese. Every single show is a whole different experience. Leftover Sam is another one. Like, but for String Cheese, they call every show an incident because you have no idea what that show is, how it's going to go, what the theme's going to be, because recorded music is meant for radio play most of the time. Versus live music, you don't have to fit it in this 5-minute structure so you can move on to the next track.
So we're not surprised when Rob plays the live version of songs.
And that's where I like being a DJ here, is we don't have to make sure every 15 minutes or 5-10 minutes that you got to make time for those ads. We have to go through our stuff we have to do for, you know, FCC, of course, but we have a little bit more freedom here in public radio to have extended songs, which allows me to play live recorded music as well as playing actual studio recorded songs.
One of the compelling parts of Marissa Beeger's story is that she thrives because of her music mentors. So do DJs have mentors?
Yes, I would have to say Dancing Bear, who does The Ride here on Big Cabbage Radio, is definitely one of my mentors. He was the DJ as well as Mike, who have taught me the ropes of this whole recording system here.
Oh yeah, that, the recording system. You might call it complicated simplicity. When you first walk in, you see two computer screens with very important programs. There's a soundboard with little lights and little levers that control the audio, and a couple of big mics to learn how to use.
The way I look at it, at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday night or 12 p.m. on a Sunday, people just want to hear music and learn about new bands. They don't want to hear about what's happening in the world. They got that all day. It's getting plugged at them all the time. So to try to figure out that balance was a big part. So DJing at first was putting together your playlist, figure out your theme, you know, for the week, and then monitoring the board and trying to figure out how your vocals sound. Are you too quiet? Are you too hot? Spacing. How long do you want to talk? How many songs do you want to play before you talk again? Listening is the biggest piece, and trying to figure out when with the timing. Oh. Right? Timing is all, it's all about the timing, as our friend Roland Roberts has talked about. And he's a good storyteller.
Because music and its musicians, or DJs in this case, always in some form or another tell a story.
The listening audience can feel like they're a part of your life or that experience.
Rob's a DJ and a promoter of music. He has a unique pulse on the community's music scene in general.
I'm really liking to see where the Matsu music scene is going. We're definitely getting on the map, of course. And as long as people keep writing great music and performing, and we have the venues that support it and the crowds that come in, I don't see the Valley having any more shortage of music to go see. You can find music almost every night of the week, which is great.
Rob has been on the air for 12 years. That's hundreds and hundreds of shows. But at the end of the day, Rob gives kudos to live music.
Mad props to all the performers and musicians, songwriters out there, and for sharing, you know, their art so we can enjoy it. And just take a moment away from the daily stresses of, you know, being out there in the world these days. It's a nice little break. So get out there, buy CDs, do it all. Listen to your Spotify, but buy the CDs, buy the LPs, because that's how the musicians make their money. Go to their live shows, pay the tickets. That's how the venues, that's how the musicians survive.
One word I ask Rob, just one word to sum up being a DJ.
Love. Fun.
That's a chorus if I've ever heard one. And ditto, mad props to all the musicians and DJs who add a little joy and a lightness to our step every day. Standing ovations, please, all around.
I think we need music in our lives. And I think that whether it was talking 20 years ago or this year, people flock to music. They music resonates with them. Music strikes a chord, no pun intended, in all of our hearts.
Couldn't say it better myself. That's it for today's episode of Voices in the Matsu. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit better. Special thanks to the Big Cabbage editorial board and sound editor, Emma Keachley. Thanks for listening. Stay good out there, Matsu.
This was Voices of the Matsu, sharing stories told by those who live in the Matsu borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Matsu Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Matsu do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Matsu Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.